It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
The man looked longingly at his wife across the crowded room. She was talking with a handsome young man. Her desires were destroying their marriage. Sometimes it was as if he didn't exist to her at all. He yearned jealously for his wife as he watched her leave the room on the arm of the attractive young man. This is a picture of adultery in the making. In James chapter 4, James indicts Christians as adulterous people, people who lived in wanton disregard of their covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They fought and quarreled, connived and slandered their way to fulfilling their pleasures. It's a picture of dysfunctional behavior and fragmented relationship. This is how James puts it in chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. What causes quarrels, and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's not that these Christians were literally committing murder or were actually engaged in sexual immorality, but recall what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 21 to 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The Lord Jesus is telling us that unrighteous anger, insults, and demeaning words that diminish or take away the life of another are essentially murder, and lust residing in our hearts and thought lives is of the same nature as committing adultery. James is also saying that fighting, quarreling, lusting and fulfilling misdirected passions not only reveal a heart unfaithful to God, but also betray friendship with the world. In this context, world is that entity alienated from and in opposition to God. Such friendship is enmity or hatred toward God. James then moves in verses 5 and 6 from his diagnosis of dysfunction towards God's initiative for wholeness. We read, do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here are two basic observations about these verses, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. First, is an insight into God's heart toward us. He yearns jealously. This phrase combines God's deep longing for his people with the pain of being denied their affection and loyalty. Second is an insight into God's generosity towards us. He gives more grace. The Lord generously provides all the blessings, all the power and equipment needed for living a life of true wholeness. How do we move toward wholeness? James has named our misdirected passions and motives as adulteries, covenant unfaithfulness toward God. What's the antidote? James begins by prescribing five imperatives or commands in verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-souled. The verbs or action words are submit, resist, draw near, cleanse, and purify. My sense that these five are listed in a logical and necessary progression. Let's walk through them. First, submit to God. What does this mean for a person who already claims to be a Christian? It calls for an intentional decision of my heart to acknowledge God's authority in every area and to subject my will to Him. Second, resist the devil. Consider the stance that Jesus took when the devil tempted Him. We read about that in the first half of Matthew chapter 4. Jesus refused to comply with the devil's enticements and promises. Jesus responded by quoting Scripture, and in that act of reciting, He demonstrated that His identity was grounded in God and in God's story and promises. We all live in a story, a narrative that defines and explains life. We need to live in God's narrative, allowing that story to define and direct our passions, motives, and purposes. Third, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. If you lack the ability or the desire to draw near to Him, simply utter that need to the Lord. Let your heart express something like this: Lord, I want to draw near to You. Put in my heart the desire for You and show me how to move toward You. The expression of that prayer is in itself drawing near towards God. Fourth and fifth are, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. This is the language of ritual washing in the Old Testament. A person would wash his or her hands, not so much to clean off dirt or blood, but as a deliberate action that demonstrated the heart's cry for cleansing. This action initiated a conscious process toward renewed purity. I recommend the practice of introspection or inner examination that I dealt with in the previous podcast. Reciting Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 as a prayer of deep introspection before God. And as things bubble up, to confess what does bubble up, what the Lord puts His finger on that grieves or displeases Him, in the language of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. James then prescribes a sober reflection leading to a deeper sense of remorse for our unfaithfulness to our God, a reflection that leads to the choice of humbling ourselves before God, and the result of that humbling is being exalted by the Lord. This is moving from dysfunction toward wholeness.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.